So the scripture is very, very plain in its warning in Colossians 2 that we are not held captive by the philosophies or the myths, you know, of this world. In other words, we want to make sure that we're looking through the right lens as a child of God. And there are lots of things out there that you could be looking through, that you could base your life on, various philosophies, but it needs to be based on what the Word teaches regarding the Christian worldview. And so we've looked at the creation lens, we've looked at the lens of covenant, we've looked certainly at the lens of the Spirit of God in great detail and depth. And we need to understand that part of our lens is looking at life and looking at things and evaluating circumstances and situations through the eye of faith or the lens of faith. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
You're never going to outgrow the need to understand how to walk by faith.
Right.
There are people that get up one day and they say, well, you know, we've moved on from that. We've matured away from that. You know, that's also, you know, 1980s and 1990s. Let me give you a word for that. The Bible very plainly prescribes how to live, and that hasn't changed all these years.
Amen.
You will never get so high and mighty that you don't need to know and understand how to walk by faith in your life. Turn to somebody and smile and say, walk by faith. And not by sight. And so the first thing you need to do when it comes to understanding the lens of faith is go to the Word of God that actually defines what faith is. And that's done over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I'll read this to you from several different translations. Scripture says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Notice the concept here, unseen. Then from the New American Standard Bible, it's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You are convicted that these things are real. The faith person doesn't have to see anything in the natural to believe they're there. They exist. The Amplified Classic puts it this way. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And I love that rendering because it points out the contradiction between what you see, what you perceive with your natural senses, and what you can perceive through the eye of faith, through the lens of faith. That's the dichotomy. There are a lot of Christians get born by faith, born again by faith, and they live all their lives just like the world, by what they see and hear and feel and taste and touch. God never designed for you to get saved by faith and then you didn't live your life like the world. Get saved by faith and do everything else you can by your own strength, by your own flesh, by your own understanding. You and I have to understand that the lifestyle of faith is supposed to be more than just the day you got born again. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Can I have a better amen?
Amen?
Faith is literally the prescribed way to live. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. It's the prescribed way to live. The just shall live by faith. Now, anybody here ever get a prescription from a doctor and not take it?
Yes.
Well, that was quick. And then you go back in there and see a doctor. Doctor, nothing good's happening. It's not working. Did you take the prescription? Well, no, I just kind of dawdled around, you know, thought about it, maybe got real bad. You didn't do what the doctor ordered. So you're not going to get the results the doctor was expecting. And P.S., it's not the doctor's fault. Can I have an amen over there?
Amen.
Say it with me. God gives us a prescription. It's up to us to take it. If we don't take it, we won't get the result. And there are a lot of people when it comes to faith. They've been told what to do, how to operate this way, but they don't do it. Then they don't see the results. And a lot of people out there that are bitter, that are critical, that are basically hyper-judgmental, you know, they feel like the faith of God has failed them. It didn't work for them. Let me tell you something. God's faith does not fail. Somehow we are not appropriating what God's revelation is of faith and being consistent and steadfast in it. So you're never going to outgrow faith. It is God's prescribed way to live. And we'll talk about this in a moment. But four times in Scripture, the Bible literally tells us the just shall live by faith. How? By faith. It means you get saved by faith. Amen. You stay saved by faith. You walk in victory by faith. You run your marriage by faith. You do your finances by faith. Amen. You believe God for restoration by faith. You handle your problems by faith. Not get saved by faith and do everything else like the world. It's a prescribed way to live. Faith is also called the victory that overcomes the world, 1 John 5:4. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Is there anybody here interested in walking in victory in this world?
Yes.
Let me see your hand if you want to walk in victory.
Yeah.
Well, there is no other way to do that but the lifestyle of faith. You're living in as much victory right now as you are living by faith. And the moment you step out of faith, you're going to step out of victory. And the good news is, nobody can cause us to be defeated but us. They don't have that kind of power. Are you here today? Say it with me. Faith is the victory. Now again, the just shall live by faith. The Bible tells us this four times. It's the prescribed way to live. It's how we live. In Habakkuk 2:4, for example, you should write that down. The scripture says, look to the proud. His soul is not right within him. But the rigidly just and the uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith and his faithfulness. This particular rendering of that scripture, say it, the just shall live by faith. It tells us that we're to live by faith and not our pride, not our desires, not our self-sufficiency, not our self-direction, but we live by what?
Faith.
Faith. Shout it out. The just.
Shall live
by what?
By faith.
You know what? And that being in the scripture alone and borne out by so many witnesses that live the faith lifestyle throughout the Word of God and recorded in, for example, Hebrews chapter 11, that'd be enough for us to know this is the way we're supposed to live. But by emphasis, it's used again in Romans 1:17. Paul said, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Well, this particular rendering tells us that we become righteous by faith. There is no other way. You're never going to get good enough to be declared righteous. But he took your sin. Aren't you glad for that? I said he took your sin and he gave you something. He gave you his righteousness. And what you have to do, what do I have to do, what do I have to do? The duty of man is to believe God. You, by faith, receive that. You're made righteous by faith, just like the father of faith, Abraham.
Yep.
From cover to cover, it's all about the lifestyle of faith. The highest functioning of the believer has not changed in all of God's dealings with mankind. In Genesis all the way today, to the present day of the modern church, it's always been about functioning in faith. Not law, not prescribed ways by man, not philosophy, not religion, but by faith. Say it, it's always been, and it'll always be,
about faith.
Then in Galatians 3:11, Paul says, clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will what? Live by faith. This tells you you're justified by faith and not the law. You can never do enough good works to somehow say, I've arrived, I am now just. No, all of our works the Bible describes is as filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. Well, guess what? That was before Christ. After Christ, if you've accepted him, you've been made righteous. Every single time you see this in Scripture, you should say to yourself, he's telling us how to live. He's prescribing to us the way we're supposed to live as a child of God. Then in Hebrews 10:38, you need to persevere. Look at somebody in spot and say, you need to persevere. So that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. How many believe he's coming back?
Yes.
Can I hear a good shout if you believe he's coming back?
Yes.
Well, in the meantime, you have been given a prescribed way to live. And that's not any other way but by faith. Not religion, not philosophy, not in your own flesh, but by faith. We avoid, listen to this, but my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. How do you overcome shrinking back? How do you overcome falling away? The key to staying strong and persevering to the end, and he who endures till the end, the Bible says, shall what? Shall be saved. The way to do that is continually cultivating faith in your life. You see a believer who's bankrupt, backward, you know, what they call somehow, you know, devolving their faith. I just call it a fancy way of saying backsliding. I'm deconstructing from my faith. If you ever knew Jesus, you couldn't possibly go to deconstructing your faith. And what happens is people over time, they forget who they are. They forget, you know, what the Lord has done for them. And they focus on everything else but that simple truth. And I'm going to tell you this. What happens is somewhere along the line, when we deconstruct, when we throw things away, we walk away from the truths we've been taught, somewhere along the line, we stop feeding ourselves, the faith was compromised, and we shrunk back to something God never intended. We're supposed to get saved, be on fire for God, walk in faith all days of our life, because He is coming back soon. I said He's coming back soon. And He's not coming back for belligerence and negativity and criticism and failure, amen, and defeat. He's coming back for a glorious church, a victorious church. Are you here today? He's coming back for faith. He's faithful, but poses the question, when He comes, will He find faith on the earth? He will right here at Hope Harbor Church, bless God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Are you here today? So how do you avoid? No matter how many sermons you hear, no matter how much you go to church, no matter how many songs you sing, how much you give or serve, if you do not daily cultivate your faith, you're a candidate to shrink back. But the just shall what? Live a certain way. Smile at somebody and say, please take your prescription. And doesn't the Bible usually say, take it all? What's the temptation? You start to feel a little better. You know, don't listen to one that's been in school for 50 years. Just get on Dr. Google. Starting to feel a little bit better. So I'll stop doing it. I've seen the same thing spiritually. People will pray and see God, get into the Word of God, come to a few services, and life will seemingly get to be a little bit easier. And in their ease, they'll forget to keep taking their medicine. This is a medicine you have to take all the days of your life. In fact, the Bible describes the Word of God as medicine to your entire flesh, your entire being. You know, it's very, very arrogant for people to say, I've grown up beyond faith. And it's also very ignorant. There is no growing beyond what you were commanded to do and how you're supposed to live. Amen. You know more than the prophet Habakkuk. You know more than Paul the Apostle. I don't think so. Say, the just. That's me. If you're just, raise your hand. If you've been made just by Him, yes. That's you, shall, will. It's not an option, it's a requirement. Say it again, I'm going to take my medicine. What I wanted to do today, because we're going to spend some time, diving a little bit deeper into this, because we've never needed our faith affirmed more than we do right now. We can never hear it enough, never be taught it enough, the fundamentals of it. But the people who choose to live by the prescribed way of living, in other words, by faith, they see things differently than a lot of people in the world, of course, but also even other Christians who aren't trained in these things. They've not renewed their mind. So we're supposed to see life through this lens of faith. For example, when you're looking through the lens of faith, those kinds of people see faith as a way of life and not something you try. Yeah. Well, we'll give it a whirl. We'll go to that two-day conference. We'll read a couple books and we'll give this faith stuff a try. You don't try faith. That's right. Amen? Take it from Yoda. You do or you don't do. There is no try. It's a quality decision. And I can tell you, I can remember when the Lord began to really deal with us about this way back in the early 90s. And at some point in time, you decide to cross a line. It's called the faith line. And you don't go back into religion. You don't go back into the way that man prescribes you should do things. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of doing and being right. It's how God has prescribed us to live. And once you cross that line, there's no way to go back to the time of unbelief, being saved and then living a life of doubt and uncertainty and confusion. See, when you are a faith person, it gives a clarity to your walk with God. It gives a solidness to your walk with God. You can count on Him. So the first thing you've got to do if you're going to be a faith person is you're going to have to make that quality decision. This is not something I try.
That's right.
Well, you know, Pastor, I tried that faith stuff and it didn't work. No, faith tried you and you didn't work.
Yeah.
I will tell you something. You will see more victories, more healings, more deliverances, more provision, more miracles, more everything as a faith person than you will ever be as a doubting Christian. Not that you'll see this in perfection because you're not perfect yet. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
But you should see more and more in your life the victory that God has for you. And you don't get that with an attitude of I'll try. I've been a senior pastor now for, almost 35 years. And on staff before that. And I've married a lot of people. A lot of them. Some of them took it more serious than others. These two are going to take it very seriously.
Amen.
Aren't you? And when I... yes, sir. We were associates on staff in Savannah, Georgia. We got down there in June of, I guess it was 89. And... Pastor had a quadruple bypass the next week. So for the first several months, I did everything I was supposed to do, plus everything he was supposed to do, all the preaching and everything. And one of the things he did is he promised he'd marry this young couple. Well, you know, somehow the counseling never happened, so I had to, on short order, take him through a short course and marry them. And most of you know that they have a little thing called marriage license. That the preacher probably should see. Because preacher's required to sign that and turn that in. Because if it's not turned in by the preacher within 30 days, it's a misdemeanor. It's crime.
Wow.
Some of you are getting sobered right now, aren't you? So I did. I married this couple, and I said, look, I said, last session, I want to see the marriage license. They go, we were going to tell you. Come to the day of the marriage. You got it? No, we'll give it to you at the reception. And I'm just looking at him. Get to the reception. Got the marriage certificate. I'll give it to you tomorrow. I'm like, you're not going to be here tomorrow. And if you are, I want my ceremony back. We had these double glass doors there on Skidaway Road in Savannah, Georgia. And it wasn't uncommon for folks to break in. A lot of drug activity and things like that. And they had just jammed those doors open so many times. So what happened was the preacher finally put chains on those between services, you know. And so I get a knock on one of those doors one day, a year later. Look at somebody say, a year later. And I let the guy in. I recognized who it was. You know, the guy with the mysterious marriage license. And he gets into his pocket and pulls this folded out piece of paper out. It's the marriage license wanting me to sign it. I seriously considered not signing that thing. That's how serious he took his covenant and his chosen life. Amen. You don't try things in the kingdom of God. You do things. You cross a line. You're covenant-minded about this. Faith is not an option. It's the way God's called us to actually live our lives. Amen. So I've married a lot of people. But I have never heard this, ever. And I hope I never do. The groom stands before you. Bride stands before you. They're all excited. Got the little bouquet going on. I didn't realize till recently that the reason they have those bouquets is because women used to stink. They didn't have modern conveniences. So they had flowers. That's another sermon. And apparently the men took one bath a year. That was it. Yeah. Y'all should be thanking God you live in the time you live. Thanking God. But here's the man. Here's the woman. Serious moment. You take so-and-so? Yeah, I do. You take so-and-so? Yeah. Well, what I'm about to ask that man if he will, you know, love, honor, and cherish her till death does he part. And he says, I'll try. All I know is I'm stepping away because he's about to get decked in the presence of God and all these witnesses. I'll try. I'll try. Well, that's what people do with faith. I'll try. And then when they try and there's no real follow through, then God is blamed and the preachers are blamed and the word's not inherent. It's not authoritative and somehow you're misled. No, what happened is you did not follow through with the prescription. You may have took a pill or two. But if you'd follow through, you'd have found out that no, we're not perfect. We haven't executed this thing perfectly, but we sure get a lot more results and breakthroughs by taking the prescription than trying it. Yeah. Look at somebody and tell them, who walk by faith is not to try. I should have just passed out little baby Yodas today. You know, sitting as baby Jesus is everywhere. Yeah. Isn't that cool? Amen. I mean, everywhere. Yeah. Going to the restroom. There it is, right on top of the urinal. I'm not sure I want Jesus in the bathroom. But we don't try faith. We do what? We do it. Again, it's a different lens. The reason I feel impressed to talk about that lens in terms of how we see things is a lot of folks have never really understood how different this lens is, how different this lifestyle actually is. It's so important. Number two, they don't pretend, they attack with the Word of God. We don't deny that something exists. We deny its right to stay there. You don't say the mountain's not there, the mountain's not there, the mountain's not there. You address the mountain with your faith. Be uprooted and cast what? Into the sea. You have to understand the difference here. People would say those faith people live in la-la land, in pretend land. They act like nothing's there. They act like they're not going through anything. They act like they're perfect. And here some of these crackpots even say, well, these faith people are anti-medicine and anti-doctors. The reason they say this is because they never really actually listen to anybody teach. They just heard some pejorative review on YouTube or some snippet on Facebook. Are you here today?
Amen.
It's critical that you get this. We don't say, no, I don't have anything going on. I address that thing with the Word of God in my heart and with my mouth and attack that. Shout that out. Faith does not pretend. It attacks. If I've got an enemy out there, I'm not going to win by pretending the enemy is not there trying to shoot me. One of my favorite scenes in movies of all time is the original Indiana Jones, where this guy's got this big sword and he's twirling it. And I read an article about this, and Harrison Ford was sick, not feeling well at all. He says, I'm not doing this. So he just picked up his gun and shot it at the guy. That wasn't even scripted. The guy falls down, somebody grabs the sword, they run away, they go, cheer, yes. Well, you're not going to win a battle like that by pretending. There's not a big man with a sword. Say it, faith doesn't pretend, it attacks. And he might have a big sword, but guess what? I got a bigger sword. It's the sword of the Spirit, hallelujah. It's supernatural. And I'm not going to win by pretending I don't have a battle. So you know what? I'm going to frame this lens based on the Word of God instead of what people have pejoratively tried to say about faith people. Mm-hmm. Amen. By the way, that is not a slam on you. That's a compliment.
Amen.
You one of those faith people. One of those tongue-talking people.
Yeah.
You got nothing to be ashamed of. Because I tell you what, you got some pretty good company. Peter, James, John, the Apostle Paul, amen, Philip, Stephen, you're in good company. You don't have to allow somebody else to frame your philosophy and your lens for you. Say, faith does not pretend. It attacks. It slams that thing with the sword of the Spirit over and over and over and over again until it says, uncle. And you don't quit hitting it until you see the victory. That's the difference. You know, what it is folks don't want to be disciplined enough to be faith people. Well, that's going to take some discipline. That's going to take some work. Yeah, it is. It's going to take some discipline of the heart and of the mouth. But believe me, it is worth it.
Yes, it is.
I said, it is worth it.
Now,
Cindy, this past Wednesday, shared about the little grandson, Max, who had very, very serious type of leukemia and cancer. I mean, it was in several places it shouldn't have been. It was in the spinal column. And the truth is, the people at St. Jude's really didn't have a lot of hope for that child. They fought the fight. They do what they do best. But she stood right here. The people who say, God doesn't do miracles and God doesn't do the supernatural anymore. And that was just to prove his deity and all that stuff. There's not a cell of cancer in that little baby's body this past week because of the power of God. Yeah. We should give credit to people who do what they do because they're anointed to do it. And believe me, they're anointed down there to do what they're doing. They're not just doing what they're doing with natural knowledge and research and money. All I can tell you is God's got a plan for little Max and the devil's not going to mess it up in Jesus' name. You keep praying for him and cover him in prayer. Well, I never hear about stuff like that because you're not listening to the right people. You chose not to listen to the testifiers of faith and to those that, you know, basically disparage people of faith. That's okay. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice.
Amen.
By getting slammed like that, you know what they gave you? Another opportunity to rejoice.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I haven't arrived yet on this. But I want to get to the point where every time something negative is said, I become a master rejoicer. I don't mean pretend. I mean, it actually causes my joy level to go up. Make it so expensive, the devil won't mess with you anymore. You're going to keep pouring joy in that guy's heart if you keep messing with him. Are you like that now? No, sometimes I just like to take people's heads off their shoulders. I came by that honestly. I was bothered by something the other day, and my wife was like, I command the spirit of Doris to come out of you. She sure did. Oh, yes. I've arrived. I'm perfect. But I would love to get to the point that when that happens, all it does is cause joy to spring up that I could identify with him because he said, rejoice, for great is your reward. So they persecuted the prophets. Great is your reward in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. But you know our flesh sometimes, don't we? We don't see it that way. Amen. My own wife tried to cast something out of me. Amen. You know, for years, people come to me at church and they'd say, come on. Come on, Pastor. Those stories you tell about your mom, they're not true. And then y'all met her. They are true. Say it with all your heart. Faith
does not
pretend.
It attacks.
Attack that sickness, that lack, that disease. Amen. That bondage, that addiction. You attack it. You don't pretend you don't have it. That's how real faith people operate.
Amen.
To characterize you any other way is just somebody who doesn't have a clue. It's arrogance and it's ignorance. Amen?
Amen.
Can you take some more?
Yes.
I said, can you take some more?
Yes.
Number three, God's sovereignty to the faith person is expressed in His Word and not by his whims. God in His sovereignty can do whatever He wants to do. The implication is He can even violate what He said in His Word. And that's not possible. It's not that a faith person is some special breed of person. We just simply believe that God and His Word are one. That this is the revelation of His sovereignty. That when He said He's not willing that any should perish, that's His will. Some people say, well, God just kind of do whatever He wants to do because He is God. He voluntarily subjected Himself to covenant with man and stipulated those stipulations here in the Word of God. And that tells you a couple of things. If you're a faith person, you can stand on God's Word because God is not a man that He should lie. And He's not operating by the whim and by being arbitrary and capricious. That's not your God. You can count on Him. He is consistent. He is faithful. So all we do is faithfully go, you know what? I don't have to be concerned about somebody saying, well, you never know what God's going to do because He's God. We do know because His Word reveals what He does and how He does it. We don't know everything. And we don't know all the details of His plan for individual lives, but we do have a God that's promised to guide us and direct us and lead us. Amen. But there's an awful lot that is explicitly written here. And you look through the faith lens, what you're doing is you're saying, yes, He is sovereign, and a sovereign God sovereignly gave us the Word of God and preserved it.
Amen.
Every once in a while you hear somebody say, well, you know, it was the Catholic Church that gave us the Bible. They authorized the Bible. They missed the whole point. God authorized the Bible, and man just recognized it was authorized.
Amen.
And authoritative.
Right.
Are you here today? And God has preserved it all these years. Every time they find an old manuscript, you know what they find out? That the modern translations, even into English, are very accurate, consistent with the finding of ancient manuscripts and pieces of manuscript. This is a miracle all by itself. I said, this is a miracle all by itself. Why would He do that? Because He does not want to be misrepresented. And it's a manual for your life. Can I have a better amen? It's a manual for your life. And it's not, well, you never know what God's going to do. You know, on a whim, He may do this. On a whim, He may do that. No, He's the most purposeful being in the universe, and He will always be. And He has revealed His sovereignty here. When He says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that's what He meant. You take it that way. Aren't you glad you can see it that way?
Yes.
Say it with me. My God, in His sovereignty, left us His sovereign will in the Bible. That's why when you are praying, make sure you go to the Word of God to find out what the Word says first. There are times when you do have to pray if it be your will. For example, in James, the Bible tells us that we're going to go to this city and to that city and conduct business. You ought to say, if it's the Lord's will. When it comes to personal, directional, amen, and human beings being directed by God, yes, you should, because you don't know what that is. But there's so much in here that we do know is His will.
That's right. Amen.
And on that, you don't say, well, you know, God in His whim, He can do whatever He wants to do because He is sovereign. You know, He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to establish covenant with us. He did not have to give us the Word of God. He did not say things like, do I utter one thing and not come through, not follow through, not do what I said? No, He does what He said.
Yes.
Aren't you glad somebody in this universe does what they say?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, say it. His sovereignty is revealed in His Word. And that's how a faith person thinks.
That's it.
You're holding something very precious. Amen.
Amen.
Number four, people looking through a faith lens are not moved by what they see. They're not moved by what they hear. They're not moved by what they feel. They're only moved by what did God say. You can see something, hear something, feel something, And that's not the basis of your conduct, your behavior, or your reaction. Faith people just react differently to things. They can go through the same things anybody else on this planet go through. They just respond differently. Because the highest authority in their life is not what they feel or see or hear. It's what did God say.
Amen.
Shout that out. I'm not moved. But what I hear, what I see, what I feel, I'm only moved by what did God say. You know, that's a daily discipline. You and I always wonder what? We want to be moved by what we see and what we hear and what we feel. But every day we go back and submit that to the Lord and say, no, I'm going to stick to what your word said. Because you need to refuse to be an emotion-ruled Christian after all these years. Let the Holy Ghost lead and guide and direct you. Say it, I'm a faith person. And faith people are only moved by what God said. Amen. What did he say about you? That's what matters. I said, what did he say about you? Anybody ever say something about you? You didn't like? Nobody here? Raise your hand if somebody ever said something about you that you didn't like. Are you walking in love towards them? Did you see how fast those hands shot down? Bless God, that's a different sermon, man. Stay on your sermon. Raise your hand if somebody's ever said something you didn't like that maybe bothered you or hurt you. Faith people aren't moved by that.
Right. Amen.
It's like, I'm sorry you feel that way. But compared to God, you're stupid. You said this, but he said, I am made in his image. Amen? I'm the apex of his creative ability. I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. I have the mind of Christ. I have the gift of righteousness. He has a plan to prosper me, give me a future and a hope. He calls me forgiven. I'm one of his kids. I have been adopted into the family of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. You don't know what you're talking about. Furthermore, you don't know who you're talking to. Faith people respond differently to the things they hear and they see and they feel. You know, when a tornado's bearing down on your house or your city, it's natural for you to have a tinge there of, ugh. Look at somebody go, ugh. You know what a faith person does? Ah, oh, Jesus, get in the bathtub. Ah, oh, Jesus. Now come find out, bathtubs aren't that safe. Out here by the moors, the one that hit Mayfield that went on across, you know, towards the lake, there's a family of four. The man couldn't get in the pub with the two kids and the wife. The thing picked the tub up and threw it about 200 yards away. Thank God they all survived. It's natural for you to have that tinge, right? But what does a faith person do? I'm not moved by feelings. I don't have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and a sound mind. And by the way, tornado, you're just a windbag. I know what you're trying to say, but here's what God says.
That's right.
You've got faith people be quick to respond, not with feeling, not with more atrocious things you might say, amen, not what you heard, but what did God say about you? And it takes some discipline to do it. Now, Pastor, am I growing as a faith person? You are if the time between when you hear something that bothers you or hurts you, amen, when the time between that and the time you come to your faith realization about what the truth is gets shorter and shorter and shorter. Amen. To the point where just as soon as something comes on you, it just rolls off your back like water off the back of a duck.
Yes.
Amen? Because what matters is what he is saying. And by the way, He only speaks truth.
Yes,
only.
That's right.
Thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
Say it with me. I'm a faith person. I see things differently.
I
operate differently.
I'm
not moved by what I see
or
hear or feel. I'm just moved by what did God say. Why, Pastor? Because this is the prescribed way to live. We're told to live this way. When I was growing up as a swimmer, you know, we were in the water a lot. And we were in the water by 6 in the morning, school, 8:30. Come back 3 o'clock, dry land in the water at 4:30. Back home by 7. You know, do some homework, get some dinner, get up the next day and do it all over again. And my mom would be frequently concerned about whether I was actually getting the right nutrients. So she'd buy these big honking horse vitamins. And then she said, you take your vitamins? And I took my vitamins. And you know what she'd say? I mean, being the angel I am. She'd say, I'm going to count. Like, you're going to count the vitamins. Really? You know what she did? She'd count them. You know what I did? I took the vitamins. Now, here's my message to you. Does Pastor Art need to count your spiritual vitamins? Because I won't. I'll just endorse your way. Amen. Glory to God. Can you get a hold of this today? I said, can you get a hold of this today? We just see things differently. And people who choose not to live that way think you're kind of weird and strange, whatever the case may be. But that's okay, because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So say it with me. My faith is a lifestyle and not something I try. Say it. I don't pretend. I attack with the Word of God. Say this. God's sovereignty is expressed in His Word, not His whims. Say it, I'm not moved by what I see or hear or feel. I am moved by God's word and God's word alone. Come on, give him a hand clap if you can receive that.